Good morning, everyone. We're here for a hearing, and if people speak louder and softer, but those of you who are going to be testifying, or the attorneys, commission staff, we'll all try to remember to speak up so that everyone can hear and so that it can be picked up on the recorder. I'm going to shortly open this hearing. It's a little after 10, so hopefully everyone has had a chance to get here. Let the record show that it is 10:10 a.m. Central Time on July 12, 2013. And we are present at the Stutzman County Courthouse Law Enforcement Center in Jamestown, North Dakota, for the hearing scheduled in the matter of an application filed by Courtney Wind Farm, LLC, for a certificate of site compatibility for construction of a wind energy project to be located in Stutzman County, North Dakota. On April 18, 2013, the Office of Administrative Hearings received a request from the Public Service Commission to provide an administrative law judge to preside in this matter. My name is Bonnie M. Fetch, and I am the duly designated procedural administrative law judge. And at this time, we'll state appearances for the record. Molly Smith is on record as counsel for Courtney Wind Farm. Ms. Smith, please identify who will be testifying and who else is present with you.
Good morning, Your Honor. With me today that will be testifying is Patrick Smith, who is with Geronimo Energy. I also have Carl Koschuk, who is with Tetra Tech, Inc. We have a number of people from Tetra Tech with us. Betsy Engel King, I always want to script the name. Betsy's with Geronimo. Justin Picard. Jay Hess with Geronimo. And then we also have Tricia Pellin, thank you, with Tetra Tech as a witness who can speak to acoustic issues if needed.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Mitchell Armstrong is on record as counsel representing the commission. And Mr. Armstrong, who's present with you, commission staff and otherwise?
Jerry Lean is present with me, commission staff, and I move that he be allowed to ask questions at the hearing today.
I have no objection, Your Honor.
Thank you, that's granted. All right, and I see probably about 13, 14, 15 members of the public out here. Do any of you wish to present testimony? That means give your comments and your opinions to the commission today. Okay, how many of you are intending? Just raise your hand so I can get about four of you. Okay, all right, thank you. All right, members of the Public Service Commission present today are Brian Kalk, Commission Chair who holds the portfolio in this matter, Randy Christman, and Julie Fedorchik. And at this time, I will ask the commissioners for their opening statements, and we'll begin with Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just thank everyone for coming out today, and I apologize for the sound challenges. Mr. Sheldon in the back room is our resident expert, and he works hard to get the sound guys here. It didn't quite work out, so I apologize for the delay. But I believe that since we could all speak loud, that'll pick it up. And the big reason for that is, you know, the commission is essentially a court. And so we come out and we gather all the evidence, we make a decision, and then from that point on, it can be appealed or not. But we really have to have a record of what takes place today. And one of the things that's really nice about being on the Public Service Commission is that when we hold these hearings, the law requires that we come to the communities most affected and hold the hearings so we can hear from you. I mean, we'll hear from the company. The company will take probably, an hour, hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours to present their case. And we'll ask all kinds of questions about that. And that's when we'll ask for your input. And I see that Mayor Katie is here, members of the county and city commission are here. We really want to hear from local officials what your concerns are about this project, what you like, what you don't like, because the way the commission works is once this hearing is closed today, that's really the last time that we can entertain evidence about this case. So this is the chance to say what you think. If you grab me in the hallway on the way to the car after the hearing, I can't really consider that information, so we really need to do that right now. Fascinating times in North Dakota right now. I was out in Williston just yesterday, and in the middle of all the oil development, the natural gas development, I think sometimes we forget about the eastern part of the state where we've got good wind potential, a lot of great things going on out here. So I appreciate the work the company's done. I appreciate that all of you come out. For the company, just a couple things that I always look for is, Molly talked about a little bit, is have to talk a little bit about the shadow flicker, make sure we're all within the things we need to be. Noises come up, making sure we're below the levels we need. I know there's been some concerns expressed about setbacks from roads and from the road, edge of the road right away, not the center of the road is usually what I look at. Also, the houses, the nearest receptor for homes, make a point about that. And if there is anything, habitat conservation plans have come up in wind farms that are part of the west of this. So if you could touch on whether a habitat conservation plan is required for this project, that would be very helpful. And other than that, I just appreciate everyone coming out, and I look forward to a good hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Call. Commissioner Christman.
Well, welcome everybody from me as well. This is my first wind farm siting case, but I've seen fewer hands go up about wanting to speak than what I see people in the room. And so I just want to encourage people not to be shy. Actually, one of my first interests in the Public Service Commission goes back to when I was a teenager and there was a power line coming across our land, and it didn't exactly go as my dad had hoped in those times, but he felt really good about the fact that the commission at that time gave him a fair listen, and that's why we're out here. And so I hope nobody will be shy about expressing your support or concerns about this project. That's why we come here. A lot of the discussion around North Dakota's strong economy seems to revolve around the oil area out in the western part of the state, but it's exciting for me, being from western North Dakota, to come out here and get to Jamestown and Stutzman County, where between Spiritwood and the potential new fertilizer plant and the Geronimo Wind Farm, and just all kinds of things going on, and appreciate the opportunity to be here and get to know some of you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fedorchik.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so pleased to see so many members of the public here today. We've had a number of hearings since Randy and I started in January, and too often we're talking to ourselves, so it's great to, and the lawyers are presenting to us, and there's not a lot of members of the public here, so I think you'll find this kind of fascinating to understand at the level of detail that they'll be presenting this project. And this is really our opportunity to dig in and explore all the various facets of this project, to ask the questions about the environmental, cultural, noise issues, wildlife impacts, all those sorts of things that need to be carefully considered in advance of a project of this magnitude. So it's wonderful to see you all here. The Public Service Commission is really where industry intersects individuals. So we have these hearings and we try to make it work for everybody so that we can advance these good economic development projects in North Dakota while not jeopardizing the quality of life that we all enjoy and appreciate, and the special nature of our state. So it takes all of us together, working together, doing that. Thank you for taking the time to be here and participating in this hearing today. This is my second time in Jamestown this week. I was here earlier speaking to a Kiwanis group, talking about the changing landscape of the electric industry, and talked a lot about how wind is a piece of that in changing the way we produce energy in our country. So glad to be here again, and look forward to hearing more about the project, asking questions, and hearing what your concerns are.
Thank you, commissioners. Just to summarize a bit about this application and the issues we're here for today. On April 12, 2013, Courtney Wind Farm LLC filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for construction of a wind energy project consisting of up to 200.5 megawatts total generating capacity, consisting of wind turbines ranging up to 3 megawatts in size, and associated facilities to be located in Stutsman County, North Dakota. The issues to be considered in this hearing are, one, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Two, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? This is the hearing procedure that will be followed today. Courtney Wind Farm will proceed to present its case for granting the application. Each witness called by Courtney Wind Farm will be subject to cross-examination by the Commission's counsel. And thereafter, I will open it up to members of the Public Service Commission to ask questions, and I may also ask questions. Following that, I will entertain further questions necessary for the witnesses. After the Courtney Wind Farm has presented its case, then I will ask whether there is anyone else present who wishes to give their testimony on this matter, either in support or opposition to the application. And that will be the time when we will hear from members of the public to come forward. Any documentary evidence must be introduced and marked as an exhibit and admitted into the record. The burden of proof is on Courtney Wind Farm to show by the greater weight of the evidence that the application should be approved by the North Dakota Public Service Commission. The proceedings are being digitally recorded, and at the end of the hearing, after the hearing is closed and the proceedings go forward and this final decision is made by the commission, any party not agreeing with the final decision has the right to request a rehearing, reopening, or to appeal the decision to district court under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 2832, and the expense of transcribing the hearing is the responsibility of a party appealing the decision. Council, any preliminary matters or any questions concerning the procedures to be followed?
No, Your Honor.
No.
All right. At this time, does the applicant wish to make an opening statement?
Your Honor, the only thing that I would note is of our two witnesses, they will be testifying regarding different aspects of the project. Patrick Smith from Geronimo will talk about the need for the project, the factors that played a role in site selection, project design, construction, operation, and maintenance, compliance with the siting criteria, local and agency coordination, and project benefits. Carl Kostchuk will be talking about the detailed environmental studies that were performed on the project and will also address some of the agency consultation. So just to give an overview so you know which witness will address which topics. And just as a lead-in, Mr. Smith's testimony will be the longer testimony of the two, so it may take some time. The other testimony will take much less time.
Thank you for that overview. Just a couple of other instructions before we begin. All witness testimony at this hearing is taken under oath and is subject to penalties for perjury. By law, it is my responsibility to instruct as to penalties for perjury. Perjury in the state of North Dakota is a Class C felony. It is punishable by a maximum fine of $5,000, a maximum 5 years in prison, or both. At this time, then, if we're ready to proceed, you may call your first witness, Ms. Smith.
Thank you,
and
Your
the
Honor.
Witness should take the chair here.
All right. First witness is Patrick Smith from Geronimo.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. And I know your back is turned to the members of the public, so as best you can, please speak up nice and loudly, Mr. Smith.
I will.
Thank you.
I'm going to scoot over so that I can see you. Could you please state your full name for the commission?
My name is Patrick Kevin Smith.
And you're employed by Geronimo, is that correct?
That is correct.
And what's your business address?
My business address is 7650 Edenborough Way, Suite 720, Edina, Minnesota.
And what's your position with Geronimo?
I am the Director of Environmental Planning.
And what is the relationship between Geronimo and Courtney Wind Farm LLC that is the applicant today?
Geronimo is the owner and developer of Courtney Wind Farm.
And Courtney is a wholly owned subsidiary of Geronimo, is that correct?
That's correct.
And could you briefly discuss for us your education and your work history?
I have a bachelor's degree from the University of Minnesota Morris and a master's in urban and regional planning with an emphasis in environmental and infrastructure planning from the Humphrey Institute of Public Policy at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. My previous work experience includes the executive director of a community development organization, a researcher at the Science Museum of Minnesota, and for the past 5 years at Geronimo Energy.
And with respect to this particular project, what is your role?
I have been in charge of the team of folks who have been siting and planning this project, assessing the energy production from it, and permitting it.
And you mentioned there's a team that's involved in this. Can you give us just a brief overview of who are the members of that team and their roles?
At Geronimo, we have folks that are specialized in meteorology and environmental assessment, in engineering, and many other fields. And then we've also partnered with Tetra Tech as a consultant to provide some specific expertise in environmental assessment.
And then if you'll look at what's been previously marked as Exhibit 1, and for the commissioners, it's the application, so I've not brought separate copies for you, but is that the application that was filed on April 12, 2013?
Yes, this is the application.
And was that application prepared under your supervision and control?
It was.
Then I would offer Exhibit 1.
Exhibit 1 is admitted.
And has any of the information been updated or revised since that application was filed?
It has.
And could you just briefly describe for us the changes or the updates?
We have added a number of participants to the wind farm. We've modified the proposed turbine types for the wind project, and we've also corrected ourselves as far as the depth to collection lines. We intend to bury them at 4 feet, and I believe our application said between 3 and 4 feet.
All right, if you'll look at what's been marked and is in the binder as Exhibit 2, do these documents provide the corrections that you were just referencing?
They do.
And yes. I believe there is a red line version of each of the corrections and then a clean copy in the back of the exhibit number. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And if we just briefly look at it, so the update to the acreage is under section 1.2. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then if we look at section 4.0, we have the update, the correction on the depth of collector being buried to 4 feet.
That's correct.
And 6.0 has updated information on turbine types.
I think it was 6.2.
Yep, I'm sorry. Yeah. We have all of 6.0 in here, but you're correct. It is 6.2. It has the turbine type information.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Please answer yes.
Yes.
And if you look at 7.5.3, that again talks about burying the collector lines to 4 feet.
Yes.
And section 7.9.2 talks about turbine type information. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Now for Exhibit 2.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 2 is admitted.
And with the information that you've provided in Exhibit 2 along with the application, which is Exhibit 1, do those documents accurately describe the project?
They do.
Let's talk just a basic overview of the project. Could you give us a general description of the project?
The Courtney Wind Farm, as proposed, is a 2.5-megawatt wind energy facility located in northeastern Stutsman County, about 8 miles north of Jamestown. It's located on approximately 20,800 acres of land. And we plan to interconnect the project to Otter Tail Power Company's 115 kV, 345 kV substation that's just north of Jamestown here. We'll need a 17-mile transmission line to get from the wind farm to that substation.
And
that will be permitted at the county level.
And that's a 115 kV line, is that right?
It is.
You mentioned interconnection. Could you discuss a little bit further the interconnection for the project, including whether an interconnection agreement will be required?
Yes, the project's interconnecting through the Mid-Continent Independent Transmission System, or MISO's, interconnection process. And we entered the definitive planning phase in February of 2013. The definitive planning phase is where MISO determines how what actual facilities need to be built to interconnect the project, and if there are any broader network impacts, what those are, and what needs to be modified to allow the power to flow easily.
And as far as the interconnection agreement, when do you expect that to be issued?
We anticipate that the interconnection agreement will be available in October for this project.
And as far as the upgrades that you mentioned, who will pay for those, and who will construct those upgrades if necessary?
The Courtney Wind Farm is responsible for funding any upgrades, and they'll be built to the utility's specifications by the utility.
And in this case, that's Otter Tail Power Company?
That's correct.
And has Courtney Wind Farm obtained the necessary property rights in order to construct this project? In other words, do they have site control for sufficient site control to construct what's being proposed today?
Yes, they do.
And to confirm, this project will be constructed, owned, and operated by Courtney Wind Farm LLC?
It will.
In the Certificate of Site Compatibility application, there are some references to Courtney Wind Farmers LLC. Could you explain what Courtney Wind Farmers LLC is and how it relates to this particular project?
Yes, Courtney Wind Farmers is a local LLC that allows community members the opportunity to invest in the development of the project. Geronimo formed this in response to repeated requests from our landowners and folks in the broader community that wanted an opportunity to get revenue from the project more than just what the lease payments were. It's a totally voluntary organization, and it's actually run separately from Geronimo by a board of directors. This is a unique model, and it's not something that Geronimo typically does for our wind developments.
And let's turn to the need for the project. Could you discuss for us why this particular project is needed?
The project will meet broader energy needs throughout the region. Currently we have a signed power purchase agreement that I believe will be filed with the commission for approval in the near future. So we hope that this project will be seen as a benefit to ratepayers in North Dakota and more broadly.
Turning to site selection and viability, what considerations did you take into account as far as site selection when you were selecting the site for this particular project?
There's a number of elements that make up a really good wind farm. Primarily, the first thing we always are searching for is a good wind resource. But then we look for, if the project is going to have undue environmental impacts, if there's going to be landowner interest in the area, and if we can meet state and local regulations for siting. And we found all of those here at the Courtney site. We had a very excited group of landowners. The project area has enough land and is such that we can site the project in a very low environmental impact manner. And overall, those things combined to make a very economic project, a very efficient project. And ultimately a project that's designed to meet the Public Service Commission's and Stutzman County's setback requirements.
And as far as the components of the project, what does this project entail?
Generally, we'll be installing the wind turbines themselves. There'll be a small pad mount transformer at the base of the wind turbines. Then there will be the underground electrical collection system, and along with that will be some communication cables. There'll be a project substation, an operations and maintenance facility, access roads, and then we'll also have some permanent meteorological towers for monitoring the operations of the project.
And what's the anticipated total cost of the project?
Currently, we estimate the total cost of the project to be approximately $350 million.
And talking about the turbines, what is the total number of turbines that you anticipate using?
We anticipate using up to 133 turbines. It will vary somewhat based on the total, the megawatt generator of each individual turbine. Right now we're considering between a 1.5 megawatt generator and a 2 megawatt generator.
And so depending on, so for instance, the 133 sites that you mentioned would be for the 1.5, the smallest megawatt turbine?
Yes, that is correct.
And you mentioned you're considering four types of turbines. Could you identify those four types of turbines for us?
Yes. We're looking at using a Goldwind GW87 turbine, which is a 1.5 megawatt generator, the GE1.687, which is a 1.6 megawatt generator. We're also looking at a Vestas V100, which is a 1.8 megawatt generator, and a Gamesa G97, which is a 2 megawatt generator.
And again, all the information regarding these four turbine types is provided in the update in Exhibit 2?
Yes.
And as a summary, what is the range of hub height and rotor diameter for the turbine models?
The range of hub height between these different models is between 255 feet and 278 feet. The rotor diameters range between 285 feet and 328 feet.
And what will the foundations be as far as construction? What will they be constructed to?
The foundations will be designed based on our site-specific assessment of the soils. But typically, they will be between 7 and 15 feet deep, and they'll range in width from 45 to 65 feet.
All right. And then we're going to discuss briefly, there's been some updates to some of the exhibits, and that will include the next exhibit that we'll talk about, which is Exhibit 3. So for the commissioners, we have a document that we are switching out from your binders, and you should all have a copy of this, and we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. But if you could look at what's been identified as Exhibit 3.
Yes.
And can you identify that document for us?
This is the project layout for the proposed wind farm.
And was the map
Excuse
prepared?
Excuse me, Ms. Smith.
Do not
what
have.
What I have is marked Exhibit 4.
Here's this is Exhibit. I bet you don't have Exhibit 3. I apologize for that.
Do any of the commissioners have an updated Exhibit 3?
No.
Okay.
I didn't get updated 3 either.
Okay. Do you have those?
I do have 4. This is the old 3.
Okay, what you've handed me is not marked, but you're identifying this as Exhibit 3?
Yes. And I'll mark those when we get to a break so that you have a marked copy, but you can switch them out in your binder system. Sorry about that. I thought that this one was handed out.
Okay, so what's currently in the binder is Exhibit 3. We should remove and replace it with this new one.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. And you have one, Mr. Armstrong?
Yes.
Okay. All right, continue, please.
Thank you. So if you'll look at the new Exhibit 3, can you identify that for us?
Yes, this is the layout that we are proposing for the Courtney Wind Farm.
And was this map prepared under your supervision and control?
Yes, it was.
And can you explain for the commission the necessity for a change between the exhibit that we provided previously in the binders and the exhibit we're providing today?
Yes, we realized that there was an error in one of our maps. We had marked a home site as a farm outbuilding, and when we realized that, we also realized that we needed to remove one turbine position. We've removed that turbine position on this map and now reflects the current layout.
And that turbine position was number 45, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it was removed in order to ensure compliance with the 1,400-foot setback?
Yes, it was.
All right, I'd offer Exhibit 3.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 3 is admitted.
And looking at Exhibit 3, could you describe for us what is depicted on the map, so the different components of the map? For instance, what are the turbines marked as?
So the turbines are the delta shape on the map, and we've numbered each of them to help facilitate identifying them if there were specific questions about any given position. The plus signs are the proposed locations for permanent meteorological towers for the project.
And there are four of those.
And there are four of those, yes. And we've actually lettered those so that it's a little bit less confusing if you're talking about two different numbered things. And then there's a set of blue lines on these on the map. Those are access roads that we'll be using to access the turbines with. And the purple lines are the electrical collection corridors that we'll be using. There's also a red box that is the project substation.
And that red box is located sort of in the middle of the project, is that right?
That's correct, in section 10 of Township 143, range 62.
And then there are some boxes in green and some that are not. What is the difference between the two?
The boxes that are in green are the parcels where Courtney Wind Farm has easements. The parcels that we do not currently have easements have not been colored on this map.
And does the on this map you're depicting how many turbine locations?
We are depicting 136.
And so you indicated you have 133. That would be the max that's needed for the project. So have you also identified alternative sites?
There are alternative sites. We plan to treat each turbine position as if it is a primary location, is potentially be built until we're done with our final engineering, and then we'll define which turbines are alternates and which ones are primary.
All right. So any of the 136 turbine locations on this map might be used for the project?
That's correct.
And does the turbine layout depend on the turbine type that is selected?
The turbine positions and the facilities generally won't change based on turbine type, but the number of turbine positions that we'll use will depend on the generator size that we have for the project. So, you know, if the generator is a larger generator, we will need fewer turbines, and if the generator is a smaller generator, we will need more turbine positions.
But of those turbine positions, they will be some of the 136 that are depicted.
Yes, that's correct.
And out of the approximately 20,800 acres within the project area, approximately how many acres will be permanently impacted during the life of this project?
Less than 1% of that, maybe around 50 acres is what we're currently estimating.
And talking about setbacks, is the project designed to comply with all of the setbacks requirements that are set forth in the commission's rules? And that would include the turbine setbacks from roads that was mentioned by Commissioner Kolk.
Yes.
And turbine setbacks from homes and property lines?
Yes.
And is the project also designed to comply with all of the Stutzman County Wind Ordinance setback requirements?
Yes, we plan to comply with all of Stutzman County's ordinance. We would note that when we modified the layout, we also noted that one of the turbines, while met the commission standard for noise, has a very very slight overage to Stutzman County's ordinance with two of the turbine models. We plan on working through a number of different options with Stutzman County to determine the appropriate way to address that.
And what are the options that you might use for addressing that particular issue?
We could elect to not use that position for those two different turbine models that it was creating an overage with. We could seek a variance from the Stutzman County ordinance, or we could seek a waiver from the landowner.
And have you spoken with the landowner about this situation?
Yes, we have.
And what was the landowner's reaction?
The landowner wasn't particularly concerned and plans on working with us on it. He's a participant in the project.
And as far as any shifts, if there were a shift in the turbine location, is it believed that that shift would be within the corridor that was surveyed for the project as far as cultural resources and wetlands?
Yes, right now we anticipate that if we did shift the turbine position at all, it would be well within that corridor.
And we'll talk in a little bit more detail about those cultural resource and wetland surveys and what those corridors are in a few minutes. And then when you were measuring your setback distances, did you measure from the center of the base of the turbine?
Yes, we did.
And since you're considering multiple turbine types, how did you decide what to use for a setback?
We used, you know, for example, the largest or the biggest number that we could come up with for any turbine model as the setback distance. So for instance, the tallest turbine, we would multiply that height by 1.1 times the turbine height for a road setback.
And then if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit 4, and again, we'll have a separate Exhibit 4 that's being switched out. And I think yours might be over here on this corner right here. And we do have a number of documents that make up our Exhibit 4. So we'll walk through each of those. And again, this is a replacement for what's in the binder. So can you identify the first map that we have here?
Yes, this is a map of setbacks from occupied residences and the turbine layout.
All right. And then if we look at the second page, there's a chart. What is that chart?
That table provides distances between the different turbines and the nearest home site.
And is there a correction to that chart that you want to note for the commission?
Yes. Home ID Y actually should be noted as a unoccupied home as well.
So right now we have, and we'll go through this, but you have a couple of other unoccupied homes in this chart, is that correct?
That's correct. We've received three letters in total regarding whether the residences we identified when we did our residence survey were occupied or unoccupied.
All right, and so for the record, we plan to mark the official version of this document, which would be Y with two little asterisks to match what is for the other one. So Y should be noted as an unoccupied structure. The two little asterisks reference that. And we will put that in the official version. And then the remainder of the exhibit are three letters, is that right?
That is correct.
And what are these letters representing?
These are the letters we received from landowners within the project regarding whether their homes were occupied or occupiable.
And so with respect to these letters, the letters are specifically for homes that are identified as E, F, and Y, is that right?
That's correct.
And was Exhibit 4 prepared under your supervision and control?
It was.
I offer Exhibit 4.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 4 is admitted.
And as far as the data that's provided in Exhibit 4, does this also account for the home, the residence that was, I believe it's identified as Residence Z, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. It's included both in the table and on the map.
And Turbine 45 has been removed from this map as well?
Yes.
And what is the shortest distance from a turbine to a home that is a participating landowner?
That would be home U, which is 1,682 feet.
And from a non-participating landowner?
That would be home Q, which is 1,821 feet.
So all of the turbine locations and the home locations, they meet the 1,400-foot setback that the commission has set forth?
Yes, they do.
And talking a little bit about engineering, operational design of this project, could you describe for us first the electrical system?
Yeah. The turbine will generate electricity through the spinning of a shaft inside of a generator. And the electricity will move down tower and into the pad mount transformer, where it'll be stepped up to what we'd call medium voltage, which is a 34.5 kilovolt voltage. And then will be connected from the wind turbine to the project substation through the underground electrical collection system. Also coming down tower and traveling along that same corridor will be a fiber optic line that will be used to connect the project to its SCADA system. The SCADA system, the supervisory and control system, will be used to coordinate all of the turbines so that they operate in concert. Once the electricity gets to the project substation, it'll get stepped up to 115 kilovolts and then via our 115 kV transmission line, we will interconnect to the Jamestown substation.
And will the collection system be installed underground?
It will be.
And it will be at 4 feet, is that correct?
Yes.
And I guess I should say, are there any possible instances where the collection line would not be underground?
We may discover during our final engineering that there are locations where there's a conflict below ground with either an existing utility or some other below subsurface condition that we can't disturb. And so in those events, we may need to go above ground for a very short distance.
But the plan is to go underground if at all possible.
Our intent is to keep the electrical system underground.
And as far as the access roads, what will be required on a temporary basis and then on a permanent basis?
When we go to construct the project, we'll need a wider road for access to the turbines than what we ultimately will need for operations. We'll probably need something at about 34 feet wide. That'll allow crane movements along that road as well as turbine delivery and other components to move down those roads easily. Once we get done with construction, we'll restore that wider area down to about 16 feet for the final road width. We'll make sure that any areas that were disturbed during the wider road will be restored to what the original soil conditions were.
And do you plan to enter into any road use and maintenance agreements with the county or the townships that are affected?
Yes, we intend to enter into both road agreements with the county and the township.
And as far as project construction, what personnel will be involved in construction of the project?
Courtney Wind will have a on-site construction manager who will coordinate the engineering and the construction of the project and will make sure that communication is ongoing with local governments, with the landowners, and ensure that we stay on a good schedule.
And will there be personnel that are dedicated to ensuring compliance with environmental and permitting requirements?
Yes, we'll have an on-site environmental control manager to ensure that we're complying with all of the conditions of our permits.
And what's the anticipated schedule for construction and operation of this project?
We hope to begin construction in the third quarter of 2013, and we will be done constructing this project by the end of 2014. And we expect that we'll be testing and commissioning the project sometime in the fourth quarter of 2014, and sometime very shortly thereafter, we will have a commercial production date.
And talking about operations, who will be involved as far as personnel in the operations and maintenance of the project?
Once the project goes operational, we'll have a team of approximately 10 folks that will be in charge of maintaining and operating the turbines and ensuring that there's ongoing compliance with any permitting conditions.
And discuss if there's any inspections that will be conducted once the project is operational.
There'll be an initial inspection of the wind turbine facilities, and then there will be quarterly and annual inspections of them as well. And we will also have a remote monitoring system so that operations of the project can be, operational monitoring of the project can go on for 24 hours.
And will you also have a contract with the turbine supplier to maintain the turbines on site?
Yes, the turbine supplier will contract with the turbine supplier for ongoing maintenance of the project as well.
And will the project be designed, constructed, and operated in compliance with all applicable federal, state, and local regulations?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about one call and emergency response. Will Courtney Wind Farm participate in the North Dakota One Call program?
Yes. We'll use One Call first to locate any existing underground facilities that, to ensure that we're properly avoiding them. And then we'll also use One Call once we're done with our construction. We'll file our as-built plans with them and make sure that they are aware of it and will participate in any One Calls that we get dispatched to.
And if there's any crossings for your collection lines that are underground, will those be marked?
Yes.
And what steps will Courtney Wind Farm take to prepare for any potential emergency situation at the project site?
We will develop two safety plans for the project. We'll have one safety plan that'll go into use when we are constructing the project. And then we will have a second safety plan that will apply specifically to the operation team. Before we go into construction of the wind farm, we'll have a coordination meeting with the local emergency management office, the firefighters, and the police as part of development of that safety plan or those safety plans. Then we'll have an on-site safety staff person during construction who will be in charge of implementing that plan, training our staff, and making sure that any incidences that occur are recorded and reported on properly.
And why is it that there are two plans, one for construction and one for operations?
We find that we're managing two very different types of activities. Ongoing maintenance of the turbines is very different. You've got people that are regularly climbing, and it's a smaller team, whereas during construction you have a much larger team, and they're doing a lot of different work.
And as far as decommissioning and project restoration, starting off, what is the estimated life of the project?
We estimate the life of the project to be 30 years.
And what is the plan as far as decommissioning the project and site restoration?
We'll file a decommissioning plan for review by the commission before we begin commercial operation. And then once we approach that end of the commercial life, we'll begin examining a number of different options, ranging from fully decommissioning to the project to repowering it in some way with new turbine technology.
And regardless of what is ultimately decided, whether there's some sort of retrofitting, if there is decommissioning that ultimately takes place, even after that retrofitting, will you comply with the commission's decommissioning rules and regulations?
Yes.
And as far as site restoration, that will be in a compliance with the commission's regulations as well?
Yes.
And talking more about commission's rules and regulations, let's talk about the siting rules. Are you familiar with the exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria that are identified in the commission's rules?
Yes.
And let's talk first about general exclusion areas. We've abided by the most recent updated version of the rules, so we'll talk about both general and specific. But are there any general exclusion areas, meaning those exclusion areas that apply to all generation facilities?
Yes, there are areas of prime farmland and farmland of statewide importance that are within the project area. We anticipate that less than 1% of the farmland, the prime farmland or farmland of statewide importance, will be permanently impacted by this project.
And will the project then have a negligible impact on prime farmland and farmland of statewide importance?
Yes.
And for this reason, is Courtney requesting that the commission not apply this exclusion criteria exclusion area criterion to the project, as is allowed under their rules?
Yes.
And then let's talk about specific exclusion areas for wind energy conversion facilities. Are any of those areas located within the project area?
Yes, there's three areas. There's areas that are 1.1 times the height of the turbine plus 75 feet from the center line of any county or maintained township right away. There's areas that are 1.1 times the height of the turbine from any railroad right away, and there are areas that are 1.1 times the turbine height from the property lines of non-participating landowners. We've cited the project to avoid all of these areas.
And turning to avoidance areas, could you discuss whether there are any of the general avoidance areas, so again those avoidance areas that apply to all generation facilities that are located within the project area?
Yes, there's three areas. There's some historical resources, there's areas within the city limits of the town of Courtney that extends slightly into the project, and then there are some woodlands and wetlands in the project area. Talking a little specifically about each of those, we conducted cultural and architectural surveys, which Carl will talk a little bit more about, and then we think, based on what we found out there, that through mitigation and avoidance measures, we don't expect that there'll be any direct impact to those resources. We've avoided the area the area of the project that contains the boundary of the town of Courtney, and when we did our land cover review of the site, we identified a number of trees and shrubs present in the project. If we do need to remove those during construction or operations, we'll be replacing them per the commission's inventory replacement requirements. There's also a number of wetlands within the project area. We've cited the project to minimize any impacts to wetlands, including and especially eliminating impacts to wetlands that might be under Fish and Wildlife Service easement.
And as far as avoidance areas that are specific to wind energy conversion facilities, we know that there's one area that the commission has identified, and those are areas where sound levels within 100 feet of an inhabited residence or community building will exceed 50 dBA. And I understand from your previous testimony that there are no such areas present in the project area.
That's correct.
And we will have our next witness talk about the acoustic assessment a little bit further. Turning to selection criteria, will any significant adverse effects resulting from the location, construction, and operation of the project as they relate to the selection criteria set forth in the Commission's rules be at an acceptable minimum or managed and maintained at an acceptable minimum?
Yes.
And then as far as the policy criteria, were the policy criteria set forth in the Commission's siting rules considered and utilized to the extent possible by Courtney Wind Farm when designing the proposed project?
Yes.
And both the selection criteria and policy criteria, as well as the other criteria, are addressed further in the application, is that correct?
They are, yes.
And were the factors set forth in North Dakota Century Code Section 4922-09 considered when selecting the project site?
Yes, we provided a discussion of those factors in Section 10 of our application.
And we'll turn a little bit to the study work. Patrick, I'd ask you to give us an overview. I understand there were environmental studies conducted for the project. Is that right?
Yes, they were.
And were study reports filed with the Certificate of Site Compatibility application for some of those studies?
Yes, we filed 5 reports with the application. They included a whooping crane likelihood of occurrence report, a Tier 2 site characterization report reviewing the environmental attributes of the area, a 2012 fall avian survey, and a Class 1 cultural resource literature search. And we also filed a licensed microwave beam report with our application.
And have additional studies been conducted since the application was filed?
Yes, since the application was filed, we've conducted studies on shadow flicker, acoustics. We've also conducted studies on architectural and cultural resources, wetlands, and we've completed a spring avian survey.
And maybe you mentioned this, but did you say shadow flicker as well?
I did.
Okay. And those reports are provided in the exhibits for the commission today, right?
They are.
And will any additional cultural resource and wetland surveys be conducted for the project?
Yes, there was a number of small spots that are not currently surveyed. When we went out and did both our cultural and our wetland surveys, we, based on the information we gathered, we modified the layout some and have teams out now that are checking these areas that we ended up having to move facilities into. We moved facilities to avoid either a cultural resource or a wetland that we didn't want to impact that were identified during those surveys.
All right. And I have a map, only I think I set mine on the ground. Are those, if you look at Exhibit 7, and we provided a new Exhibit 7, so everyone got a copy. If you didn't, please let me know. Okay. And can you identify Exhibit 7, and we again have a replacement for what is in the application in order to account for the residence and dropped turbine. Can you identify Exhibit 7 for us?
Yes, Exhibit 7 provides the project layout, and the areas that remain unsurveyed are highlighted in green.
And so there's only a few small areas highlighted over or throughout the entire project, is that right?
That's correct.
And when do you anticipate completing those that survey work?
We anticipate to be complete with it within the next 30 days.
All right. And will there be, and I should ask you too, are there any other architectural surveys that need to be conducted?
There are a handful of evaluations that will be ongoing, and Carl will talk a little bit more about those. But they're the results of our initial review. We identified a couple of architectural sites that we wanted to examine in a little more detail.
And so I'll offer Exhibit 7 first, and then we'll go into...
No objection.
Exhibit 7 is admitted.
And then we'll have some late filed exhibits. And so I just went in the same order, continuing with the exhibits after what's in our binder. So late filed exhibit 15 will be a supplemental technical memorandum. And that will be on cultural resources investigation. And we'll also provide the SHPO concurrence letter.
On cultural resources
investigation.
Okay.
With the SHPO concurrence letter. And late filed exhibit 16 will be a supplemental technical memo.
Okay.
And that will be architectural history investigation.
Okay.
And also with the SHPO concurrence letter.
And do those replace what was proposed?
No, they'll be a supplement to what's proposed. So okay. It's additional survey work, and that will be the report that covers the additional survey work.
Okay.
And the SHPO concurrence we would anticipate that we're providing will cover everything, because at this point we don't have a SHPO concurrence on the reports that we'll be discussing later on. So we'll make sure that's included in those two exhibits.
Okay, any others?
One more, late filed exhibit 17, and that will also be a supplemental tech memo.
Okay.
And that will be for the waters and wetlands survey.
Okay.
And again, that one will be a supplement to what we will talk about during Mr. Kostrick's testimony.
All right.
No objection.
Thank you. We will admit those late filed exhibits.
Thank you, Your Honor. The bulk of the studies that you just discussed as being filed after the application is filed will be talked about by our next witness, but let's talk with you about the shadow flicker report. So we have an exhibit, if you'll look at Exhibit 8, and Exhibit 8 is, this one is a switch out as well. And that was, can you explain why we are switching out Exhibit 8 in order?
I don't believe we have a copy of that, Ms. Smith. Commissioners,
think that,
do you have a copy of?
I do.
I think the commissioners do.
I do.
Shadow flicker assessment.
Okay, I don't have a copy then. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh.
You don't have one?
Commissioner Crispin also does not have.
Okay, let me.
Commissioner Fedorchik and Paul, do you have it?
I have it.
Do you have it, Mr. Armstrong?
Yes.
Okay, just Commissioner Crispin and I.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
And so we were talking about with Exhibit 8, why we had a switch. Why are we replacing the report that was filed earlier with the report that we're discussing today?
We're replacing Exhibit 8 because of the additional home site. We wanted to have a shadow flicker report that appropriately represented the site.
So we have included all of the homes that are that would be potentially impacted by shadow flicker within this revised report. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you talk about the purpose and of this report?
We complete a shadow flicker analysis to identify and determine if there's any adverse potential shadow flicker impacts from the wind farm as it's designed. And what we do is we run it through a program called WindPro, which is an industry standard program for modeling shadow flicker. And it allows us to assess how many hours per year any particular residence might experience what you would call shadow flicker, which is the sun passing through the rotating blades of the turbine.
And what was the conclusion that was reached and discussed in this report?
The way that we perform our analysis, we do a two-step analysis. We look at a greenhouse analysis first, where we only look at, we assume that a home is basically a greenhouse, not actually a home with windows and shrubs around it, anything. We ignore basically site conditions and assume that the house is going to be experiencing sunlight all the time. We use that information then to identify locations that need further analysis. After doing both the greenhouse analysis and the more detailed shadow flicker analysis, we determined that there are no residences in the project that would experience shadow flicker more than 30 hours per year, typically in events of 1 to 2 minutes at a time.
All right. And just following up on your, after you ran your greenhouse model, were there any homes that were above what you had identified as your threshold?
Yes, when we ran the greenhouse model, we did identify 3 residences, but upon closer examination of the site characteristics of those residences, either there was an existing tree row, there were no windows on the side of the house that would experience flicker, or some other characteristic in the area, those homes would not actually experience the level of shadow flicker we were estimating.
All right. And one of the homes was actually an unoccupied and unoccupiable resident, I should say, structure. That you previously referenced during the discussion of the setbacks.
That's correct.
And why was 30 hours used as in this particular case for modeling?
There's no federal or state regulations on shadow flicker amounts, but we look to what other wind energy companies are doing as good practice in a region, and in North Dakota, companies have typically used 30 hours.
I offer Exhibit 8.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 8 is admitted.
And are there any permits besides the certificate of site compatibility that's required for this project?
Yes.
And are those permits discussed in Section 9 of the application?
Yes.
And just focusing on 4 of those permits, could you talk with us about the current status of there's a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Section 404 permit referenced. Can you talk about the status of that permit?
Based on the design of the project currently, we anticipate that we'll qualify for the nationwide permit, the general nationwide permit for wind energy or renewable energy facilities.
And that's basically just a notification, and then you fall under the permit?
That's correct.
And then there's a reference to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service special use permit. I assume that goes with the wetland easement areas. Is that permit required?
No, we don't anticipate needing that permit. The permit is associated with if we impact any of the Fish and Wildlife Service's wetland easements. We've designed this project to avoid any wetlands that might be under service easement.
And Federal Aviation Association or Administration determinations of no hazard, have those been obtained?
We've obtained preliminary determinations of no hazard for initial layouts for the project and are currently revising those to the current layout, but we don't anticipate any adverse determinations.
And you also need a conditional use permit from Stutzman County. What's the status of that application?
We've discussed in depth the details of what needs to go into that application, and we intend on applying for it by the end of the month.
And talking a little bit more about your coordination efforts at the local level. So you've discussed permitting with the local level. Have you also discussed any other issues with local entities and officials?
Yes, we've been very closely involved with all of the township boards and with the county board and planning commission.
And that's even early on in the project planning, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then if you look at Exhibit 5, and I apologize, these ended up getting out of order. So in the binder, it's actually Exhibit 5. So we have to go backwards. So sorry about that. If we look back, can you identify what's provided in Exhibit 5 of the binder?
Yes. Exhibit 5 are letters of support from Stutzman County and from Courtney Township and Durham Township.
And it looks like the first letter from Stutzman County was from the county chairman to Governor Dalrymple, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then the second was from Chairman Somsen and Mr. Dick to Courtney, or I'm sorry, to Geronimo Energy, is that right?
That's right.
And the third is Jeffrey Mitchell with the Durham Township Board, and that was also to Geronimo Energy, is that right?
That's right.
I offer Exhibit 5.
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 5 is admitted.
And prior to filing the Certificate of Site Compatibility application, did Courtney Wind Farm send consultation letters to all of the agencies and entities that are identified in Section 6906.0105 of the North Dakota Administrative Code?
Yes, we did.
And those are provided in the application in Section 10.11?
Yes.
And has the company received any other agency correspondence since the application was filed?
We've received correspondence from the Minot Air Force Base and the United States Fish and Wildlife Service.
And is that information provided in Exhibit 6?
Yes.
And we do have a supplement just adding updated information, and so there should be a packet of emails that are put together that start off, I believe they start off with an email from Neil Schnook, and so those would be added to, that's an additional information that came in after we submitted our exhibits, so it's additional filing.
And if you have those.
I'll send you.
Do you
have those?
Commissioner Dorchik, you have that?
I have six.
Sorry about that.
Two were by me, and
That's all right.
Okay. I now have the supplemental packet.
All right.
And this is not a replacement, but a supplement.
It's a supplement. And let's talk first about the correspondence with the Minot Air Force Base. Can you explain to us what the discussions were with Minot?
Yes. When we did our initial siting of this project, we contacted the Department of Defense's Siting Clearinghouse to determine if they had any interest in the area. The Department of Defense Siting Clearinghouse provides broad support to energy projects that are going in and tries to ensure good coordination. They identified the Minot Air Force Base as having a military training route in the project area and directed us to contact them about any mitigation. We contacted them and they provided a response stating that they didn't identify any detrimental effect from the installation of the wind farm.
All right, and I believe that's in the, that email is probably the first one in the binder. Is that correct? The very top of exhibit.
Yes, that's correct.
Six in the binder. And then you also have had ongoing correspondence with and coordination with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is that right?
That's correct.
Could you discuss for us those coordination efforts?
Yes, we've been coordinating on two main issues. One, the wetland easements that they have within the project. We've been working with them very closely to ensure that we're not impacting any basins that they may have jurisdiction over, including doing joint delineations of wetlands in certain areas. We've also been coordinating that with them on avian work. You know, we've completed our spring survey and we've provided that back to the Fish and Wildlife Service, and we've also been working with them on a nearby eagle nest.
And will the eagle nest will be discussed a little bit further by our next witness, is that right?
That's right.
And then are you also, they've made a recommendation, I believe, to prepare a, well, it may have said an avian and bat protection plan. Now I understand it's called a bird and bat conservation strategies. Do you plan to prepare that document?
Yes, we do.
And are the emails both that are provided, so there's sets of emails in here from the, if you flip past the map in the binder, you get to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service correspondence. Is that correct? Under Exhibit 6?
Yes, that's correct.
And then the additional emails that were provided today are also U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
Yes, they are.
And those summarize the correspondence both on coordinating on delineations and then coordinating on various survey issues?
Yes, they are.
All right. I offer Exhibit 6.
No objection.
Exhibit 6 is admitted.
And besides what we've provided here today in Exhibit 6, did Courtney Wind Farm receive any other correspondence from federal or state agencies since the application was filed?
Yes.
And what was that?
We received some correspondence from the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office as part of our coordination on field surveys.
And that's, we'll get to it in the next with the next witness, but that's provided in Exhibits 10 and 11, is that right?
That's correct.
And then in a letter from the North Dakota Parks and Recreation Department, and that letter is summarized in Section 10.11.7 of the application, there are references to the project potentially affecting two state land and water conservation fund sites. Can you identify for us what those sites are and whether they will be impacted?
Yes, they identified two sites that were nearby the project, the Courtney Town Softball Diamond and some docks at Spiritwood Lake. We don't plan on installing facilities near either of those.
And what are some of the benefits of this particular project?
From an economic development standpoint, we anticipate that the project will generate around 200 construction jobs in the area. And then more long term, we'll have between 10 and 14 operations staff that will be here long term maintaining the project. There'll also be lease payments to landowners. There'll be additional revenue to the state and local governments. And during construction and operation, there'll be significant expenditures for equipment, fuel, supplies, and services by the construction workers in the area.
And in the Certificate of Site Compatibility application, there are references to the Courtney Community Fund. Can you describe for us what the Courtney Community Fund is and what its purpose is?
Yes, as part of our standard course of practice in development, we intend to set up a 501c3 that will receive a small portion of the revenue of the project on an annual basis. The 501c3 will be run by a board of folks initially nominated by the landowners in the project and then run separately from the project at a later date. We'll be in charge of administering this fund and distributing the money on an annual basis.
And what will the money be distributed for?
You know, it will be up to the board ultimately to decide what sort of things they want to fund, but we've heard different things from baseball parks to FFA groups to trips abroad to scholarships.
And so this is just a separate kind of a good neighbor type offering from Geronimo as a developer.
Yes.
And then if you'll look at what's been marked as Exhibit 9, and it's in the binder as well, is that a copy of the certification relating to order provisions that was sent to Courtney Wind Farm by the Commission's counsel?
It is.
And has that been executed?
It has.
And who has executed that document on behalf of Courtney Wind Farm?
Elizabeth Engelking.
And does Ms. Engelking have the authority to bind Courtney Wind Farm with respect to adhering to the certification?
She does.
And in conclusion, based on the studies and analyses that have been conducted and on the testimony presented here today, what are some of the conclusions that Courtney Wind Farm has reached regarding the proposed project?
From a high level, I would say that the conclusions we've reached is that this project has a strong combination of the things that make a wind farm successful. It's got a good wind resource. It's got low environmental impacts. It's got good transmission access. I think most importantly what we've seen is that a strong community support is what makes wind farms successful. And the folks in this area are the type of folks that are progressive innovators. They're out there looking to come up with new ways to improve both their own income and to better their communities, and we've found some really strong partners in them. We think more broadly that this will bring some jobs to the region, uniquely in eastern North Dakota, and it's going to help to diversify some of the revenue from to local governments and to the broader community.
I have no further questions, but I want to make sure. I don't think I offered Exhibit 9, so I offer Exhibit 9.
Objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 9 is admitted. All right. Then at this time, commissioners, do you want to proceed? Do you want to take a little break? How do you want to proceed?
I think usually Mitch goes before we go. That'd be all right. But I guess it's up to Mitch. I could take a 5-minute break before we go with questions, if that would be all right with.
Okay, we'll come back and proceed with cross-examination, but we'll take a 5-minute recess at this time. Scott, can you just pause that?